Okay, we're going to finish up Judith today and then transition into the Book of Wisdom. So we are almost at the end of Judith. We're picking up with chapter 14. And the notes they give you in the Navarre Bible, which we're using for this, they have some notes on chapter 14. They say, the events covered in the central chapters of this book bear out what Achior the Ammonite said in his speech to Holofernes, where he was talking about the history of Israel and the Exodus and all that kind of stuff. He says, now as the story draws to a close, we meet Achior again. When he hears what has happened, he is converted and becomes a member of the nation that enjoys such divine favor. It's one of the first people we are aware of, one of the few that actually converted to Judaism, rather than being one of the tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple of people like Ruth, for mm-hmm. example, mm-hmm. That have done that, but not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But this Achior is one of them. This is the army that has swept all before it and was on the verge of attacking the Israelites, breaks up in confusion when they find that the power of God of Israel had used a woman to assassinate their general. It's a case of every man for himself. The Israelites give pursuit and they obtain a great victory and much booty. Because if you remember, they had brought all these supplies with them and everything. So all that fell into the hands of the Israelites now. So they got all this good stuff, you know, these camels in there and all the goods and everything. All the food that they were providing themselves with, all that kind of stuff. Mighty men of war who relied on their own resources have been undone by the power of the Lord. Judith is praised for her valor, but also for her wisdom. By her hand, Holofernes alone was overcome, but an entire army of the enemy was defeated by her intelligence. By cutting off the head of Holofernes, an act that the wisdom of men did not even think of doing, she raised the spirits of her people and trod the enemies underfoot, filling her people with a sense of honor and striking terror into the heart of the enemy, who were defeated and fled. The temperance and sobriety of that widow not only gave her command over her own nature, but more important still, it made men stronger. That's from St. Ambrose. I think one of the really important things in this, it shows how God, throughout salvation history, has used women in a variety of different roles. And how much respect he has for women, and how much the men around them look up to them. This whole village looks to Judith now as their hero, you know, or heroine, I guess you'd call
it. All the women Libby should read the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And go into depth. But I think if I don't watch that horrible show, The View, but they all need to listen.
Yeah.
Their hearts are closed.
But it is. If you look at salvation history, you've got Judith, you've got Ruth, you've got Esther, and so on, and then Bathsheba, you know, it's that after Solomon became king, she sat at his right hand and was an intercessor for the people of Israel before the king. So she's like a type of Mary in that regard.
Yeah.
Not because she committed adultery or anything, but just her role before her son, the king. And just like what the Blessed Mother does for us today, interceding for us before her son, Jesus. And then, of course, Mary, using her. And then think of all the wonderful women saints we have. St. Teresa of Avila, you know, St. Teresa of Lisieux.
Catherine of Siena.
You know, there's... God uses women in so many wonderful ways to not only perform some mission, but also to teach us. Look at how much we learn from Teresa of Avila and her writings. Yeah. I mean, they're just amazing, you know?
And all the women founded religious orders in the church.
I mean. Yeah. And it was also interesting to me, has been for some time.
HDMI doesn't work on.
Yeah. How God will pick a man for some role, but then have a companion woman to go with him.
Right.
You know, like he had Teresa of Avila, but Joan of the Cross. They worked together. St. Francis de Sales and
Chantel, is that?
No, that's it.
Jane Francis de Chantel?
Jane Chantel. Okay, so they worked together.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the man would found some kind of order for men and brothers,
yeah.
And the woman would found an order of nuns.
Mother Angelica.
And they would kind of work together, you know. So it's amazing how many times you see these pairs. St. Francis, I think, did the same thing.
Oh, St. Clair.
St. Clair. And St. Francis.
Right.
So you see that kind of thing a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people talk about women being the weaker sex, you know, maybe physically. That might be true. You know, they can't lift 500 pounds, you know, from a deadlift or something like some of these guys can do. But their interior strength and their intelligence and their wisdom and stuff, you know, it's just really something that I think God uses and tries to help us understand the value. And that's why when you go back to Genesis, when God created man, he didn't create Eve as somebody subservient. He created her as a partner, a helper with Adam. Mm. And they work together, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where if you look at most good marriages, you see that.
Mm.
You see the husband and wife working together, respecting each other.
Mm.
You don't see one trying to lord it over the other all the time. You know, so I mean it's just the way it should be. Anyway, we'll go back to chapter 14 now. I'll get off my soapbox. So it says, then Judith, now she just came back, if you remember. She came back, she said, open the gates, you know, here's what I've got, go get all the good stuff and everything. It says, then Judith said to them, listen to me, my brethren, and take this head. She's not, her maid's carrying his head in this little food basket, right?
Yeah.
Then Judith said to them, listen to me, my brethren, and take this head and hang it upon the parapet of your wall. And as soon as morning comes and the sun rises, let every valiant man take his weapons and go out of the city and set a captain over them as if you were going down to the plain against the Assyrian outpost. Only do not go down. Then they will seize their arms and go into the camp and rouse the officers of the Assyrian army. And they will rush into the tent of Holofernes and won't find him. They will rush in. Then fear will come over them, and they will flee before you, and you and all who live within the borders of Israel shall pursue them and cut them down as they flee. But before you do all this, bring Achior the Ammonite to me, and let him see and recognize the man who despised the house of Israel and sent him to us as if to his death. So she wanted Achior to come and see the head of this guy. You know, the guy who sent him to die is now dead. And Judith has got his head. So they summoned Achior from the house of Uzziah. And when he came and saw the head of Holofernes in the hand of one of the men at the gathering of the people, he fell down on his face and his spirit failed him. And when they raised him up, he fell at Judith's feet and knelt before her and said, blessed are you in every tent of Judah. In every nation, those who hear your name will be alarmed. Now tell me what you have done during these days. So he's looking at her and say, you're just a woman. How'd you do this? You know, he's the greatest general of the army of Nebuchadnezzar. And you're sitting there holding his head in your hand. You know, how'd you do that? Then Judith described to him in the presence of the people all that she had done.
Some melon, there is a slice now.
Melon, there's a slice of melon on the cover.
Say again? Oh, I thought somebody had a question or something. So then Judith described to him in the presence of the people all that she had done from the day she left until the moment of her speaking to them. Apparently she hadn't really explained everything to the other guys yet either. So she's telling everybody at one time. And when she had finished, the people raised a great shout and made a joyful noise in their city. And when Achior saw all that the God of Israel had done, he believed firmly in God and was circumcised and joined the house of Israel, remaining so to this day. The enemy army flees. As soon as it was dawn, they hung the head of Holofernes on the wall, and every man took his weapons, and they went out in companies to the passes in the mountains. And when the Assyrians saw them, now they're doing exactly what Judas said was going to happen.
Right.
And when the Assyrians saw them, they sent word to their commanders, and they went to the generals and the captains and to all their officers. So they came to Holofernes' tent and said to the steward in charge of all his personal affairs, that eunuch guy that was in charge of them, "Wake up our lord, for the slaves have been so bold as to come down against us to give battle in order to be destroyed completely." So Bagoas went in and knocked at the door of the tent. I didn't know tents had doors you could knock. Anyway, he knocked at the door. I guess he had a thing, a wooden thing to knock on or something. So he went and knocked at the door of the tent, for he supposed that he was sleeping with Judith. He thought Judith and he were in there having fun. But when no one answered, he opened it and went into the bedchamber and found him thrown down on the platform dead, with his head cut off and missing. And he cried out with a loud voice and wept and groaned and shouted and rent his garments. Then he went to the tent where Judith had stayed. And when he did not find her, he rushed out to the people and shouted, "The slaves have tricked us. One Hebrew woman has brought disgrace upon the house of King Nebuchadnezzar. For look, here is Holofernes lying on the ground and his head is not on him." When the leaders of the Assyrian army heard this, they rent their tunics and were greatly dismayed, and their loud cries and shouts arose in the midst of the camp. When the men of the tents heard it, they were amazed at what had happened. Fear and trembling came over them, so that they did not wait for one another, but with one impulse, all rushed out and fled by every path across the plain and through the hill country. Those who had camped in the hills around Bethulia also took flight. Then the men of Israel, everyone that was a soldier, rushed out upon them. And Uzziah sent men to Betomethiam and Bibai and Choba and Kola, and to all the frontiers of Israel, to tell what had taken place and to urge all to rush out upon their enemies to destroy them. And when the Israelites heard it, with one accord, they fell upon the enemy. They drove a Honda. They got into an accord and came out.
That's really bad.
And with one accord, they fell upon the enemy and cut them down as far as Choba. Those in Jerusalem and all the hill country also came, for they were told what had happened in the camp of the enemy. And those in Gilead and in Galilee outflanked them with great slaughter, even beyond Damascus and its borders. The rest of the people of Bethulia fell upon the Assyrian camp and plundered it and were greatly enriched. And the Israelites, when they returned from the slaughter, took possession of what remained, and the villages and towns in the hill country and in the plain got a great amount of booty, for there was a vast quantity of it. So now we come to the end of Judith. Judith's song of praise. Her song of praise is kind of long. We'll look at a little bit of it. Might not read the entire thing in detail. I don't know, we can decide. Judith's song of praise. Then Joachim, the high priest, he was the high priest in Jerusalem, if you remember. Okay, he was the guy who was kind of calling the shots over there. And the senate of the people of Israel who lived in Jerusalem came to witness the good things which the Lord had done for Israel, and to see Judith and to greet her. And when they met her, they all blessed her with one accord and said to her, "You are the exaltation of Jerusalem. You are the great glory of Israel. You are the great pride of our nation. You have done all this single-handed. You have done great good to Israel, and God is well pleased with it. May the Almighty Lord bless you forever." And all the people said, "So be it." So all the people plundered the camp for 30 days. They gave Judith the tent of Holofernes and all of his silver dishes and his beds and his bowls and all his furniture. And she took them and loaded her mule and hitched up her carts and piled the things on them. And she already had quite a bit, you know, from her husband, so she's a pretty wealthy lady. Then all the women of Israel gathered to see her and blessed her, and some of them performed a dance for her. And she took branches in her hands and gave them to the women who were with her. And they crowned themselves with olive wreaths, she and those who were with her. What's the significance of an olive wreath crown?
Peace.
It's not victory, is it?
It's a crown of victory.
Oh.
At the Olympics, they would use a that to crown victory. So, an olive wreath was always a symbol of victory, success over adversity. When Noah finally landed, you know, the bird came back with an olive branch to let him know it was peaceful time. It's also a sign of peace rather than war. And they crowned themselves with olive wreaths, she and those who were with her. And she went before all the people in the dance, leading all the women, while all the men of Israel followed, bearing their arms and wearing garlands and with songs on their lips. Then Judith began this thanksgiving before all Israel, and all the people loudly sang this song of praise. And Judith said, and she's going through this prayer here, says, "Begin a song to my God with tambourines. Sing to my Lord with cymbals." So she's got a prayer, but she wants to make it a song, a prayer raised in song with instruments and everything else. "Raise to him a new song. Exalt him and call upon his name. For God is the Lord who crushes wars. For he has delivered me out of the hands of my pursuers and brought me to his camp in the midst of the people. The Assyrian came down from the mountains of the north. He came with myriads of his warriors. Their multitude blocked up the valleys. Their cavalry covered the hills. He boasted that he would burn up my territory and kill my young men with the sword and dash my infants to the ground and seize my children as prey and take my virgins as booty. But the Lord Almighty has foiled them by the hand of a woman. For their mighty one did not fall by the hands of young men, nor did the sons of the Titans smite him, nor did the tall giants set upon him. But Judith, the daughter of Merari, undid him with the beauty of her countenance. For she took off her widow's mourning to exalt the oppressed in Israel. She anointed her face with ointment and fastened her head with a tiara and put on a linen gown to deceive him. Her sandal ravished his eyes. Her beauty captivated his mind, and the sword severed his neck. The Persians trembled at her boldness. The Medes were daunted at her daring." I like that little three-line thing there. That's pretty cool. "Her sandal ravished his eyes. Her beauty captivated his mind, and the sword severed his neck." That's
they
pretty
never
cool.
Tell us those stories when they're telling us about Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah. "Then my oppressed people shouted for joy. My weak people shouted, and the enemy trembled. They lifted up their voices, and the enemy were turned back. The sons of maidservants have pierced them through. They were wounded like the children of fugitives. They perished before the army of my Lord. I will sing to my God a new song. O Lord, thou art great and glorious, wonderful in strength, invincible. Let all thy creatures serve thee. For thou didst speak, and they were made. Thou didst send forth thy spirit, and it formed them. There is none that can resist thy voice." That's like the prayer. It's very similar to the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Send forth the spirit, they should be created. Almost word for word, practically, you know. "There is none that can resist thy voice. For the mountains shall be shaken to their foundations with the waters. At thy presence the rocks shall melt like wax. But to those who fear thee, thou wilt continue to show mercy. For every sacrifice as a fragrant offering is a small thing, and all fat for burnt offerings to thee is a very little thing. But he who fears the Lord shall be great forever. Woe to the nations that rise up against my people. The Lord Almighty will take vengeance on them in the day of judgment. Fire and worms he will give to their flesh. They shall weep in pain forever." Then the conclusion of the book says, "When they arrived at Jerusalem, they worshipped God. As soon as the people were purified, they offered their burnt offerings." Why did they have to be purified?
We're always doing that.
Usually when you spill somebody else's blood, you have to. So these soldiers were killing all these Assyrians. You know, and getting involved with war and everything, so they had to go through a period of purification. "So as soon as the people were purified, they offered their burnt offerings, their freewill offerings, and their gifts. Judith also dedicated to God all the vessels of Holofernes, which the people had given her. and the canopy which she took for herself from his bedchamber, she gave as a votive offering to the Lord. So the people continued feasting in Jerusalem before the sanctuary for 3 months. Wow, that's a long part.
Wow,
I thought their weddings were long, but this is really long. And Judith remained with them. I wonder how many porta potties they had to have. I always worry about stuff like that, you know, given my previous problems. Where's the nearest?
They had no menu.
After this, everyone returned home to his own inheritance, and Judith went to Bethulia and remained on her estate and was honored in her time throughout the whole country. Many desired to marry her, but she remained a widow all the days of her life after Manasseh, her husband, died and was gathered to his people. She became more and more famous and grew old in her husband's house until she was 105 years old. She set her maid free. She died in Bethulia, and they buried her in the cave of her husband, Manasseh. And the house of Israel mourned for her 7 days. Before she died, she distributed her property to all those who were next of kin to her husband, Manasseh, and to her own nearest kindred. And no one ever again spread terror among the people of Israel in the days of Judith, or for a long time after her death. So that is the story of Judith.
I just had something came to mind when you say the Liturgy of the Hours. There's a lot of things in here that is in one of the songs.
Yeah.
Like a lot of sentences.
A lot of things. I mean, very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of things are very similar.
Yeah.
So what'd you think of Judith?
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's the best work.
It's an interesting book. It's a very interesting book to read.
Amazing.
And,
but you made her come alive.
Yeah,
you know, it comes off the pages.
Yeah,
yeah,
really.
But it's really, you know, it's a fascinating story.
Yeah,
and just there's so many women in the Bible that just play such a central role. You know, if you look at the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, there's one woman in that genealogy. Mm-hmm. Who was that?
Who was that?
Ruth.
No. The woman who was in Jericho when they crossed the Jordan and took the town of Jericho. She helped them. What was her name?
She was a prostitute.
She's a prostitute, yeah. Rahab.
That came to mind, the prostitute. Yeah. She wasn't a great lady, but I didn't know her name.
Well, she had no choice.
Yeah.
Okay. But she saw what was happening, and so she went out and helped them.
Yeah.
So she helped them take... Yeah. them, and so she became part of the tribe of Israel after they took Jericho, and she became part of the lineage of Jesus. So he is really his lineage encompasses all of humanity, you know, not only great leaders and kings, but
so Ruth isn't part of his genealogy.
She may be, but she wasn't mentioned in the genealogy of Matthew. There's only one woman that's mentioned in the genealogy.
The only name comes to mind, I don't have a feeling it's right, Jezebel. I mean, that's probably so way out in left.
Yeah, she's not part of this thing. I don't think so.
Who the heck?
So what do you think about it? You like this?
Yeah, that was fun.
It was good. It was fun.
And, you know, we never hear these books.
So So we're going to switch over to Jezebel. I'm going to stop this recording and then start another one so that I can have them separately. So when I post them, they'll be separate things. So all those of you on the internet, hang loose for a second. Be right back.